forever. Dog. Race Chaser.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. And welcome back to Race Chaser. A podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What's yours?
I'm Willem.
Last week, Morgan won the challenge and Sahara Davenport and Shangela lip sync for their lives. Shangela went home, but as we all know, that lit a fire under her ass to come back many times in the future. Welcome back.
Welcome back, Shangi. Let me tell you something. After we saw that lipstick message getting wiped away off the mirror by Tyra, I thought to myself, I said, that seems out of format. Like, usually it's the girl that sends the other girl home.
She came out of format.
She came out of format.
She was coming out of format.
She was coming deep out of pocket and out of format. So I called up Shangela and I said, Shangie, that lipstick message, was that your idea? She said, absolutely, it certainly was. Shangela.
It was her lipstick.
It was her lipstick. Kit. They would not give her a pen and a paper to say goodbye to her friends and Sahara. So she wrote it on the mirror and she established the protocol for the, basically for the whole series, for the opening of every episode and the closing with the wiping. Well, they've changed the, they do the wipe down now at the end of the episode, don't they?
No, it now starts at the beginning of the episode.
Okay.
And they come back in and they read the lipstick message. And then, like, the lipsticks getting picked out of the box are now the All-Stars thing. So the lipstick message is really iconic.
I mean, I find that so tasteless that after Shangela established the lipsticks as a thing, that only Thorgy picked her for the actual lipstick.
Well,
it's the way the cookies crumble.
Well,
I think that's kind of cool that Shangela was a trendsetter and had the forethought to do that. You know,
yeah.
She makes for good TV, and I'm not surprised that they invited her back for 8 or 9 seasons now. How many?
She's 17.
She's been on like a lot. She was on my season. She was on 2, 3, 4.
Was she a zombie on your season?
No, she was. They tried to make us eat her, and I was like, I'm not doing that B-roll stuff. they're like, come over here, you're all going to scratch at her and claw. And I was like, bye.
I learned by watching other people, and I'm not going to do that because I'm not just going to eat a zombie.
Hi, Tyra. She jumped out of a box in my season. Yeah, and we were all like, oh. I remember the cameras being on me, though, and clapping, going, hey, yeah, just, you know. And then we had to break for a moment, and they told us we were on ice, which means don't talk. And I was looking at her, and she was smiling the whole time, knew where all the cameras were. And I was like, okay, we're going to play this game. I can do that, too, Hollywood. The episode starts with more Hotel BTS of bulges and various half-trons getting into boy mode.
Right. It's important for a wider audience.
But the bulge shots,
well,
really?
They have to make it clear. These are men dressing like women.
And that's just Mystique. I'm kidding. She's not a plural. If you walk into the workroom and see the lipstick message, you know that, you know, Sahara and Shangela were sisters, and it's kind of sad. And Tyra wipes away all that gravitas and just says, well, you don't need this no more.
Yeah, usually it's the person who sends them home who has this sentimental moment. Tyra's like, well, this is my station, so
I tried to tell him I wouldn't wipe off Jiggly's because I didn't want to be seen cleaning on television.
Such an asshole.
I know.
What?
I was just being difficult because I knew I was going home with
them. That is difficult behavior.
Isn't it?
I don't want to be seen cleaning.
It's weird that they said I was difficult. I don't get it.
That's so crazy. I mean, what a mischaracterization.
Totally. The video message this week is a weather forecast full of slang ending with somebody's gonna make it rain.
Exactly.
Which either means precipitation or a Helen Hunt movie.
Moisture. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And you can streetwalk a mile in my shoes. Okay, that's what RuPaul says. So we're putting together what this could possibly be all about.
Meanwhile, she's in a house shoe under the judging table.
Well,
good for her. The mini challenge is making over a RuPaul doll, a supermodel doll, from a lady to a tramp.
Have you ever had one of those dolls?
Can't say I have.
Me and Sharon had one. She got it in the divorce, but they're really beautiful. Oh. I want one.
They're well made. I know Matthew had a hand in it.
They're really cool.
Yeah. The girls have to work in pairs for the doll makeovers, and Mystique ends up alone. But she says, I work alone. So, you know.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they have 30 minutes to make over the dolls, but when we have to do quick drag, they give us 10 for the makeovers.
Right, exactly.
The girls get aggressive with the materials once again. They're told to run at a table, which isn't locked down on wheels, and it's just moving all over.
Tyra hijacks the whole table, and she says, I'm going to steal all the materials so no one has anything to work with. She actually does that. And so everyone is working with scraps.
Tyra is tired for that. I'll say it right there, because that's, you know, you don't need to handicap other people to get a leg up.
Right. You don't have to.
In my opinion, I don't know.
Everyone still was fierce, though.
Yeah, the dolls looked kind of great.
Yeah.
And of course, the one that won was the one that kept Rue laughing with all the backstory, Pandora and somebody. I don't know.
Pandora and Sahara.
Sahara. Yeah, Pandora and Sahara. I personally like the sequin thong because... It's just great for getting rid of fissures.
If you what is that, exfoliant?
Mm-hmm, exactly, just slices it right off.
You get those good sharp sequins.
Mm-hmm, a paillette.
Yeah, they'll really cut you.
Yeah. I think that the Rue doll looks a lot like the Star Booty challenge that was assigned, so that makes sense, right?
Yeah. And it had a lot of detail, and it had a story. It was like she was missing a shoe, but she had the heel in her hand.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Backstory.
It's a weapon, too. A shoe can always be a weapon, and if you don't know that, you're not familiar with Flotilla DeBarge. Hey, Flotilla. She doesn't listen to the podcast, but if you know Flotilla, tell her we said hi, and I would not fuck with her, especially if she has a shoe in her hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, look her up if you don't know about Flotilla DeBarge.
I met her at Wigstock. She was really
so
sweet.
Great. This girl was walking through her station. She said, keep it moving.
Oh, my God.
She said, like, literally, just keep it moving. I was like, damn, right in the mirror at her.
Damn.
She said, get out of my mirror. the girl that won the challenge, her name is Shafree For All.
Yeah, Shafree For All.
Which I think is, and they even gave her a root.
See, it's full of details. Mm-hmm. It's really, you don't need a lot of materials, but you just, the details tell the story.
Yeah, you want to tell the story for sure.
Yeah. They gave her a good old root.
Mm-hmm, a rooted wig.
A one root on a 613.
Exactly. A 1B.
A 1B.
1B on a 613. Yeah.
A zero.
Yeah. And if you don't know what that means, you probably don't do drag or shop for wigs.
They My God. They break up into teams. Mm-hmm. So Pandora and Sahara become the team captains. And they choose teams. And Raven says, Nicole was picked last because this is a sexy contest and she's not sexy.
Mm-hmm. She specifically says, Nicole cannot bring sexy back.
Right.
And I'm just a little shocked at that because Nicole is, you know, she's cute. And everybody thinks real girl.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily equate to sexy.
Right. But, I mean, Nicole Paige Brooks doesn't know that because she delivers sex on the regular. If you see her as social, she is out there in the panties and the pasties. She does sexy. She does sexual.
I've seen her in a strappy sandal.
Hell yeah.
Were you ever a team captain?
I can't remember.
In all your
probably. Yeah, because I won a lot of mini challenges.
Oh. I think the team picking is always one of those things that will be used against someone at some point. And
it's full of juice.
Yeah. When I was team captain, I did the fairest thing I could think of, which was blind handing out things. Oh, wait, no. That was when I won the boat thing. When I got to pick teams, that was a different one. And I just picked Dita, Princess, and Jiggly because those are the girls I wanted. The wrestling challenge, that was it.
Right.
But there was that whole, why didn't you pick me feeling in the room about
which we have here as well. Because mm-hmm. Tyra is like, why, Pandora, why didn't you pick me? I'm stuck with these bitches. I wanted to be with the tall, pretty girls.
Yeah, she is butthurt about it, and she makes no bones about not wanting to participate in the mini challenge or the rehearsal.
There's Tyra, I would say she's being difficult during this process.
Now, I mean, the average bedside viewer could say she is being difficult, but do you think it was strategy too? Just saying, I'm not going to rehearse, they're going to think I'm suck, and then I'm going to turn it out.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know what goes on in that head.
I'm not sure, but she's agitating on purpose. Like, she's agitating everyone. She's like, oh, team leader, guess what? This fabric you picked is horrible.
Well, at least she was nice enough to say, can I say something first?
Can I say something?
This fabric fucking
it's
sucks.
It's shitty. Yeah. It's shitty fabric.
Literally.
And then she makes her outfit first and then takes a nap. And then during the rehearsal, she stands there, arms crossed.
No heels. Giving them nooch. No.
Yeah.
For sure. And she said, I can either be a bitch or I can be an even bigger bitch if my feet hurt. And she is, I mean, marking is when you usually, like, you know, you half-ass a dance to save for the performance. She's not even marking.
I mean, she's marking a mark.
It's a step touch, and she is literally just giving a hip.
A shuffle. She's a shuffle.
It's not even a truffle shuffle, because truffles are expensive. I think that...
So, yeah, they go out to talk with the pole dancer instructors. Mm-hmm.
The pole dancer instructors are gorgeous women who teach them how to drop it like it's hot.
Yeah.
And Mystique gets up there and starts dropping it like she's waiting for the microwave, for sure.
Is that what dropping it like it's hot is? Is that what that is?
Dropping it like it's hot comes from the game, I think, Hot Potato, because you don't want to drop it because it's hot, maybe.
Really?
I don't know.
I thought... they were twerking, but this is before the word twerking was like a word. So yeah. Is dropping it like it's hot the predecessor to twerking? I'm asking Big Dipper because he's in the room.
And oh, he's
an expert on this topic.
What do you do if you get something hot in your hand? You drop it because it's hot. So drop it like it's hot.
But don't you also remember the Hot Boys?
Hot Boys.
Juvenile.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Right.
So I think it's exactly what you're saying. It's before the popularization of the word twerk.
But those boys probably got it from literally dropping something.
Okay, so we have an online thing from Kane. Specifically, it refers to a dance move where a person, usually a woman, bends over or bends her knees and drops toward the floor, emphasizing her butt. Okay.
Yeah, and now we call that twerking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair. I'm glad we cleared this up. Yeah. Race chaser, getting to the bottom of it.
I thought your verse.
Investigative. Investigative reporting.
Robert Stack, cue the fog. On this episode. I think the tension is palpable between Tyra and her group. She doesn't even pretend to listen to Sahara about anything. And Mystique tells her to stop complaining. And literally... says
she doesn't do any, even in the even with the instructors, she says, I'm not going on the pole, I'm not doing it.
Which in my head,
I'm not doing it.
I see that as maybe a strategy of, I don't want to do draggy things out of drag. There's some girls that,
I
like,
think she's that kind
she's
of girl,
very that, because she's full package or nothing at all, you know.
Yeah.
She gives it 100 on stage, the smile, the hair, the outfit, the presentation, or zilch.
Yeah.
And this is a zilch moment for sure.
Yeah. Which I kind of respect.
To each their own. Yeah.
She's like, no, that kind of behavior is reserved for the character of Tyra. So if I'm going to be on TV, if I am my male self, mm-hmm. he doesn't do that.
James. Yeah.
James.
But she also deems the behavior as ho-ish.
Right.
Which, like, girl...
Well, I mean, it is, but that's the challenge.
Exactly. I mean, you're walking a mile in Rue shoes, and, you know, we all been hoes at one point in our lives.
Right. Oh, and then there's Fabric Gate.
Drag queens do be known for their sticky fingers sometimes.
Well, but this is the... Everyone just wants to have a fight, because that team took 5 different fabrics, because Tyra said, we should all be dressed in a different fabric. But Sahara said, no, we're not doing that. We're only using this fabric. Mm-hmm. So they weren't using the iridescent rainbow zebra print. They weren't going to use it. The other team knew that. So they went over and they, like, picked it up.
While the other team...
were on the poles practicing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Maybe they should have waited. Mm-hmm. But it also is a non-issue because they weren't going to use the fabric.
And Tatiana had heard with her ears that they weren't using it. They were going to use the same. And then when they were called out on it, Tati was quite vocal and said, I have ears. Don't try that. And then Juju says, are you trying to get fierce with me, Miss Tati? And then she says, no, but you need to think. She says, I think a lot. And you need to think a little harder. And it got into one of those. And it was a good little tiff. I'd say it was a tiff.
A Tati tiff bit?
A Tati tiff bit. faux show.
Are you trying to be fierce to me, Miss Tati?
No! I think they're cute.
Making sure, girl, just making sure.
You think a lot, don't you?
I do.
But you think wrong all the time. You should think harder. Thank you.
Thank you.
We got another thank you.
We got our third thank you of the year.
Another thank you on the thank you counter.
Thank you. Put a dime in the thank you bucket.
Tatiana is one of those people, though. She's very soft-spoken, and she's very, like, sweet and, like, petite. And so...
Thank you.
I think people think they can kind of, you know, take advantage of that.
She is not the one.
But she is absolutely not the one. Like, she will clap back really fast and really, like, she's there with
it. She's not the one. She's never been mistaken for the one.
No, ma'am.
Not at all.
No.
I think that Sahara shows a lot of class and says, did you need this? Do you want this? You can have it. You just, you know.
She's a classy woman.
Yeah, she is. And that, you know, I think that has something to do with, like, growing up in Texas, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of Texas girls are good fucking queens, and they're fair. Yes. And I love Texas. Dallas and S4 is my favorite spot to work, honestly.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, my favorite spot not to work is on a team with Tyra, because the bitch is taking a nap. And if there's a girl I know that could sew her costume in 5 minutes, some of those other girls could have used some help. And if I could help a girl and she's on my team and it's a team challenge, I would, you know?
What if she was really feeling fatigued?
Aww.
I mean, I kind of side with Tyra on this.
It is an exhausting process of filming Drag Race, but...
It is. And she's like, I did my work, and, like, I just need a rest.
I did my work. None of these girls like me. I don't like them. I'm going to go take a nap.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what it was, I think.
It could have easily turned into a... do I have something on my face moment, mm-hmm, with RuPaul and Tyra?
Yeah.
Which it seemed like it was going to be like, uh-oh, she's in trouble. But RuPaul was like, okay, go back to bed.
Yeah.
Tyra's responses were really good. She was like, I have no doubts about what I'm going to deliver.
And she did. She was succinct about it, and she was correct. Which, I mean, I think that kind of vindicates?
Vindicates. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, she vilified herself already, so now she's vindicating herself.
Well, we'll get into the main challenge when we come back.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie.
Also, you're going to want to discover the 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals.
The Factor meals were so great. I love that they came in a recyclable container and with very little waste. And food, delicious. My taste buds had a party.
Exactly. Really good. Really easy to make. Loved it.
Not a lot of cleanup, because Factor Meals eliminates the hassle of the prepping, the cooking, and cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff, and you can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and then pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. And if you're looking for gourmet meals, try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/drag50 and use code drag50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code drag50 at factormeals.com/drag50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is still active.
I have ears and they work really well.
Me too.
Oh, you think?
You think?
You think a lot, don't you?
You think wrong.
You need to think better because you're wrong. Are you being fierce to me, Miss Willow?
Oh my goodness. I do love a tiff. I know on my season when I had extra things, the girl that wanted them was kind enough to ask if she could have them. And I said, I'll let you know. And then
with those Fifi?
Yeah. And then after talking to Latrice said, okay, you can give her this. Because Latrice was in charge.
Right.
And then I gave her stuff. I gave her feathers, which I thought were going to be at the bottom of her dress. She puts it around her waist, makes herself look bigger. I was like, Jesus loves me.
Chicken feather boas.
Yeah, right at the waist. Never not a at feather the waist. At the waist. Not in the least. But this main challenge is not about putting stuff on. It's about taking it off.
And yes.
These girls are doing the gig at the Firefly.
It's the Dragonfly.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done a gig at the Dragonfly? I have.
I did Showgirls in Drag with Detox and Vicky.
Oh, that's fierce.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's terrible dressing rooms, cracked mirrors.
Wow.
I had my costume stolen.
Oh.
I did. Like,
who would want to steal those?
It was Diesel.
I'm just kidding.
You know I love a designer.
Breaking out the Diesel.
Wow. I think that...
Stealing Willem's Diesel.
Whoever took that garment is in Costa Rica. I'm kidding.
Oh, my God.
The guest judges come out for this.
These are great guests. Kim Coles and Dita Von Teese.
Mm-hmm.
Those are great guests.
Yes, I'm a fan of both. The twist of this challenge is after making their stripper hoochie outfits, they have to go and day walk and sell cherry pie.
This is hard all around, this challenge.
It is. It's hard to watch, and it was probably just as hard for the girls to do because day walking.
Here's why this is okay. Not every drag queen can serve like sex, okay?
Yes.
It's not on everybody's, like, wheelhouse menu at mm-hmm. all. I don't know. I would have to, like, turn it to something humorous, I think, for doing a pole dancing, trying to get money from people.
Same, because I have no rhythm.
Right. So it's like, that's where... So that's a challenge. Also, so you know that you have to do a stripper thing, so you're going to dress like a stripper.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the last minute, they tell you have to go walk on the street and interact with people and try and sell them something.
That's a totally different outfit, you know?
I would never dress in my hoe stripper outfit to go interact with the public on the street because that is kind of like scary to people. It kind of like turns them off. They're like, I keep my kids away, mm-hmm. you know? That's the stripper
and
hooker.
The part of Hollywood that they're in is right by my headquarters, and there's a lot of families there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you film people on the street and you want them on the camera, you have to get them to sign something. So a lot of them don't want to, you know, oh, no, I'm not signing. So, like, even if you do have
the stripper TV show right? forms.
What is this cross-dresser program? No, thank you. You know, like, a lot of it is, you know, you're pulling teeth to get an interaction with someone, and it's the middle of the afternoon. People don't necessarily want to come out and, you know, harangue with these drag queens.
For that, I would dress something very like colorful, campy, mm-hmm. over the top,
spectacle.
And approachable.
Yeah.
So that it's like, oh, look at that. That's a drag queen. How fun.
Mm-hmm. I used to stand by Hollywood Highland and take Polaroids for $5 with a stolen camera. And I wore the biggest drag that I had, which
exactly.
looking back, you know. But
but these girls are dressed like soaking wet hooker stripper.
Whores. These are the girls, not the ones you find at the Donut Time. They're also not the Benito's Tacos girls. They're the ones a little bit more east towards, like, Gower.
Trejo's Tacos?
No. They don't go by Trejo's Tacos.
No, they don't go. And,
but some of them
Shakey's?
Are... Shakey's Pizza. They put your birthday up on the board. This is the first time I've ever seen RuPaul's arms.
What? Where?
She's in a red shirt and you see her arms.
Oh, like when she's man RuPaul?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yep.
I think that...
She's showing skin as well.
Skin is in, honey.
Honey.
This selling pie gift certificates, it's also a hard challenge because you're selling something and then saying, but go here and redeem it. And then it's like, huh? it's kind of confusing. Can you imagine going up to someone on the street saying, do you want some pie? And then there's no pie, but there's a coupon for pie, but they got to walk a block away and up the street to Las Palmas. Uh-uh.
It's a hard thing to sell.
It's a hard challenge. And I see why many of them flop.
I love Sonique because she's not sassy. She's bitchy.
She doesn't have time for nobody.
She says, honey, I don't have any time. Do you got some money for me?
How much money you got? she said, my time is valuable. He says, so is mine. She said, well, you need to hit it then.
You need to hit it.
Sonique is eye-catching on stage. She is interactive. She does all the good tricks that a girl does in a club.
She knows how to do that. That's like her skill set.
Yeah, Sonique knows sexy.
She knows sexy.
Yeah, and she's a talented performer too. She does backflips, front flips, pretzel dip flips.
Catwoman.
Yeah, all that.
Yeah.
The choreo seems to be a bit of a challenge for Nicole Paige Brooks.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone says it. So
she's out of her element.
We're not wrong to say it. We're hateful. But not wrong.
She's out of her element compared to the other girls, definitely.
For sure. Who do you think was the better team? Because going into it, I thought Pandora's team was definitely going to be the winner, especially with Sonique's flips and all her accoutrement.
Yeah, I think that the team with Sonique on it.
Yep.
I thought they seemed the most like, isn't Morgan on her team too?
Yeah.
Yeah, they seemed the most like together and on the same page.
Morgan
like,
had the stripper Christina hair.
Yeah. We're like, we understand what this is, and we're going in and we're doing it.
Totally.
The other girls were a little more disjointed, I thought.
Yeah, and it seemed like the other girls didn't want to be on the same team anyway. Some like Tati was embarrassed by the other girls on the street, and Tyra made no bones about wanting to throw bones at bitches.
No bones, honey.
No bones. Sahara really impressed the judges, I thought, because her group routine was, it got the crowd going, and anytime the crowd gets going and screaming and hooting and hollering, that's when you know, you peek your head out from backstage like, ooh, what'd she do? She do a split? Oh, man. They ain't gonna have no money for me. It was very that kind of performance.
Yeah.
The good production number. The overture's on. The show's about to start.
Juju, she knew that she wasn't gonna, dancing wasn't her gold. Mm-hmm. So she did a lip gloss bit.
See, I call that the Coco Peru, because Coco Peru was telling me about her audition for Tu Wong Fu, where she was told that she had to work the runway and then do a walk, give it your all in front of all these girls, Candace, Lena, all the New York girls.
So all the New York girls went up and they did their splits and their flips and their voguing and their this. So Coco is like, what do I do?
So she grabs a paper cup and she sips it, and then she crumbles it at the end of the runway, and the room went up. It is legend. And that actually made it into the movie. She inspired a whole bit that ended up in Tu Wong Fu. And it's kind of cool, that if you're presented with a challenge, you say, how do I make this me? And then you do it. And Juju did that.
Yeah.
I think Juju is one of my favorite queens ever for that reason. You know, she can always flip it. She's got a good mouth on her. She's pretty. All that.
Yeah.
Sahara did the splits on the street for $20, though, and that's admirable, too.
See? She has a very approachable personality.
Yeah.
So she was from New York, and that's a very, you're interacting with people on the street because there's so many people everywhere. Mm-hmm. So you're in the subway.
Like, for sure.
You're like, so she very much was that. So she was probably like, hey, do you want to see me do a fucking thing?
Give me the coin.
Yeah.
And it worked, Her team made more money, right? Yep, she won. Good for her.
Hallelujah.
Tyra jumped on a lamppost and started yelling in a baritone.
Would you like to buy some cherry pie?
Juju says, think more soprano.
Be a soprano girl.
Mystique does a jump split.
That's her old faithful, and it gets the crowd going.
She does it off of a platform onto the ground, but again, she has that hand up to stabilize.
It still gets the crowd going.
It still gets them going.
They also put it in slow motion.
They are. Yeah. A slow mo-ho is the way to go. Faux show. She jumps, she splits.
The shimmery black tights.
RuPaul's mouth is agape. wow. Juju's makeup is flawless and blended, and she doesn't even have liner on yet. Look at that. God damn, she's beautiful.
Yeah, she really is gorgeous.
Just a little Juju bit.
They have sort of a soft moment here.
When they're painting?
Yeah.
A little painting party moment?
Yeah, and Pandora's talking about her father, who's struggling with cancer, and Juju's father passed away because of cancer. And so this is like, these are those moments where you get to see behind the fierce exterior and see that these are people and they have real lives and real things going on.
Yeah, it's nice to see that, but I also like the shenaniganery about someone stealing Miss Shauna Brooks 8x10. Nicole Page Brooks is looking for her mother's photo.
Excuse me. Oh my God, I've been robbed.
Will the person who stole an 8x10 of Shauna Brooks please return it? It just won't do.
It just won't do.
And then she's later talking about, she puts out the framed picture of her son next to her when she paints, so people can have a reference of what they're talking about. Nicole Page Brooks has a son, and she says that she hopes he can be proud of her one day, that she's a drag superstar.
Yes.
Which is nice. And she's going to show him the show eventually, I guess she said. My parents go to my shows all the time. Do your parents go to your parents go to your shows.
Yeah.
I've had quite a few interactions with your mother, and she's a good time.
She is. She likes to have a good time. Mm-hmm.
Your whole family, actually, is lovely.
Yeah. Well, after we take this break, let's come back and do the runway. Excuse me, I had a pen here, and it's gone, and someone took it. And also, I had an 8x10 of Shauna Brooks here.
Signed.
That was signed and is no longer there.
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying anyone here stole it, but someone who is here stole it.
That's always fun to do in a room. I had something taken during my episode of my time on Drag Race, and I know it wasn't one of the girls because we were all in the same room elsewhere together. And I found that kind of suspicious. And I didn't know if they... It's weird when something is taken and you're like, okay, what's my recourse? Do I go crazy and blame production, who I knew took it? Or do I blame another girl who I knew didn't take it and give them the TV they want? I did. I chose neither and just was quiet about it. But... when things are taken in a drag dressing room, it's the worst feeling in the world. Have you ever had anything stolen in a dressing room?
Well, it's the last thing you want to do is start accusing people, because as soon as you do, you find it in your stuff and you realize that you just put it in the wrong place.
So I repeat the question. Have you ever had anything mopped?
I don't even think it's like a knock on wood thing, but like, no, I never have. And
have you ever mopped?
No, of course. Of course not. I have been really lucky, and like, I don't know. I think for the most part, drag queens are really respectful of one another, and like, we still maintain. I'm serious. You're making a horrified face right now, but I'm serious. Like, and I think that our community maintains like integrity in that way.
Yeah.
It's not cool to steal from people.
Yeah. Do you remember that gig in Denver that we just did at Trax, I think? And we went in the dressing room and the first thing I did was cannibalize a bouquet to put flowers in my hair. I was like, y'all didn't need these, right? Like,
and then they got tangled in the lace and the hair wouldn't come out.
Then Anthony started to yell at me. That was bad. In that same dressing room, I remember you borrowed a shirt that I wore on Beatdown, and then someone said, oh, look, they share drag and stuff. And like, I remember you gave that back. You're a very good queen. I have stolen things from other girls unintentionally, like, oh, this is your ring. Can I wear your ring with this? Or, you know, I've always tried to give it back, though.
Yeah. I mean, unintentional, that's different.
Yeah. Because
then it was borrowed. And you forgot to give it back. I still have a wig from Ivy Winters, which was on Battle of the Seasons about fucking 4 years ago. So I still have that, but I still have every intention of giving it back.
We're on the Heels of Hell tour this October.
She's there.
And she's there.
Okay, I'll bring
me, Latrice, Aja, Sharon, you, me, I forget who else. But that's in the UK. Holy Trinity. Go see us if you're listening. I have definitely stolen some stuff in clubs, kind of, but it's not really stealing if they give it to you because you just go, oh my God, I love that. And then like, thanks. I'm like, where did you get that? I want one. I made it. Oh my God, I would do anything for that.
It was passed down through generations in my family.
Oh, Shauna Brooks made it for me.
Oh, I love it. Could I? No, I couldn't.
No. Oh, really? I can have it? Thank you so much. And that's how that works, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah, it's very real. Just like Tati, very real.
Let's get into this runway.
Let's do it.
The theme is high class drag.
Which is open to interpretation, apparently.
Yes, it is.
Rue looks very high class.
She looks amazing. And she's wearing red hair, which I think this is the one of the only times we see this.
Your theme is red and wild.
Red and wild, honey.
She looks amazing. I'm continually awed and impressed by Matthew and Zaldi's work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dress is gorgeous.
Some of the other girls know. Let me say this. Drag queens have lots of, what's the word? Drag queens have lots of ways to look good nowadays. You know, they have designers, they have people wanting to work for them. They have like, oh, I'll do this, blah, blah, blah. Especially Kimchi, I mean. back then,
just send me the $3,000 and I swear in 6 months I will drive the garments to you.
Drive them. But first we need to stop for insulin in Tennessee and also New York.
Also, I died. So I don't know how I'm texting you this.
So good. So on this runway and in general during this time period, if you wanted to look good in drag, you either needed money or skill. And some of these girls have neither, apparently.
Wow. Damn.
I said some.
Okay.
Yeah. Rue looks great. There's lots of gowns.
Right. I mean, high class usually in drag traditionally is like you're going to wear gown categories. You so put, we're seeing a lot of those.
Yeah. You put a good rubber band on the back of that earring, make it into a ring. Jessica Wilde has a whole quinceañera store on. She's got a hat. She's got a bi-level wig. She's got a glove. She's got a bracelet on a glove.
Uh-huh.
She probably has a nail on under that glove.
Probably, yes. Yeah.
She's lovely, though. All the presentation in the world.
Raven wears the simple Santiali dress.
Yeah, that's fair. And a big statement ring, a couple of bracelets, and the...
She looks great, though.
Yeah.
She ends up being in the bottom, but she looks really great.
Sahara looks lovely.
Sahara's in a fitted pageant custom gown, obviously made for her body.
One of the only girls in color, too. Way to stand out, you know?
Right.
Pandora also chooses a color, but it's cheap rayon fabric.
They zoom in on that non-backed... Yeah. Interior hem.
The shoes match the dress, but I wouldn't know any shoe that wanted to match that dress. It's weird. It doesn't work, but Juju sure does. Juju is a orange cream dream sensation.
Right. Is this a hostile takeover?
Yeah, which I don't
is
get.
Is that a reference? It's got to be a reference to something.
I mean, here's the thing. If RuPaul says it and you don't laugh, you're in the wrong.
Right.
And someone's always going to laugh, so then you're like, did I not get the joke?
Maybe Hostile Takeover is a movie.
Oh.
And maybe like Tia Carrere is in it or something, and she looks like that. I don't know.
What's that quote that makes its second appearance? Someone said it. Merle said it in the second episode.
Oh, Sonique Boom.
Oh, yeah.
Sonique Boom.
Sonique and Nikinika. That one didn't stick. So RuPaul went ahead and stole Merle's comment from the last. Merle,
on the last episode, Merle said, oh, she's making a Sonique Boom. And no one laughed. So this episode, RuPaul is like, oh, she's making a Sonique Boom. And everyone like loses it. Ah!
Loses it. They have to repost one afterwards.
They lose it.
Very that. Steal from the best. I certainly do. Mm-hmm. No apologies. The hair and fashion. I mean, it's not bad, but it definitely is dated.
Well, it was a different time.
Yeah. Literally.
It was, if you could get your hands on a wig, you were lucky. That means if it has bangs, which a lot of these wigs we're seeing do, and if it's long, lovely. brown long bangs wigs. We're going to see hundreds of them on season two.
Yeah.
That was like the aesthetic. That was the life. That was the moment.
Lace fronts were not as accessible then. And
no,
the ones that were very expensive. And yeah. The cheap ones look cheap. And you'll see a lot of them on season three.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
we see like the growing of drag aesthetics as
totally.
We go.
Yeah. The qualifying element for the win of this challenge is whose team made the most money stripping. And Sahara's team won. So
yeah,
that means Tyra was on the right team.
Exactly. Also, Tyra looks amazing. I want to have a moment to talk about Tyra's runway because it's iconic. And it's sort of along the lines of what Raven was doing, which was like taking a simple black garment and styling it exquisitely. Mm-hmm. And she does this like pompadour, which was very fashion forward for that moment in time.
And they showed the back of it too. It was well done. It was just, it wasn't haphazardly pinned up. It was a French roll into a poofy, nappy pompadour, which I love.
The body jewelry.
The styling is
really
beautiful.
Yeah.
I wonder though, I wonder if they cut away and you could see the bra in this open back.
No.
You can't. Everything is flawless. She is put together well. It may not, it reads as expensive, even though we know the elements of it are not. And
yeah.
That's the key to, I think, making an impact. Morgan's outfit actually looks like it costs some money, but it doesn't look as good, I don't think.
She decided to go for executive for high class.
Sure. Well, why does she carry that purse then?
High class executive.
Yeah. I feel like if your hair can be big, it should be big. And that wig was flat. Look at Tyra's
right.
hair. She came out with hair, a look. I don't know.
She's exquisite.
I'm very impressed by all of Tyra's looks right now.
And Tatiana is Rihanna at prom.
She is.
That's how she describes her look.
It's
an actual prom dress. She wears it well. It's hard for us tall girls to get a dress off the rack because it hits that awkward length.
Mm-hmm.
That's like just
shy.
That skosh above the ankle where you don't want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Shangela's Starsborn dress was 6 inches too short, which meant you could see her shoes. So she gave it to a friend and he helped her out with it and added like 10 inches of extra tulle and stuff at the bottom. And he turned it out.
He did because it looked really good.
Star is Born.
Ooh, October 5th. It already happened.
You can go see it again.
I will have seen it by the time this comes out.
It's so good.
I can't wait.
You're going to live.
So, this is a difficult moment because the challenge is based off of something quantifiable. Mm-hmm. So, if you didn't collect as many dollars as the other girls, you are going to lose.
Mm-hmm. If the cunt didn't get the coin, you're in the can.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, it's not about, like, interpretation or, like, oh, we kind of liked your delivery on the runway a little
more. It's clear.
Like, it's based off of numbers.
Yes. Which I like.
Sure, it's countable.
And if you didn't want to do the work, if you didn't want to talk to people and put in the work on the street, if you just wanted to be a Debbie Downer on the corner and you didn't make the coin on stage either, you will be in the bottom. Learn your words.
Damn.
Yeah.
Sahara wins.
Mm-hmm.
She gets immunity and a $1,500 package from sequinqueen.com.
That's sequinqueen.com.
Have you ever done Sequin Queen?
I've looked, but I never actually bought them.
I would. I heard you bought them a lot, but
what? I was like, I don't.
I've always wanted to do Sequin Queen. I like their stuff, and they take your measurements, and they like. I don't know. Maybe I will.
Yeah,
just for fun to try it out.
Just for fun, try drag.
Yeah. Try drag. 100 try drag.
This is the staple of every reality show coming up, where they do the who do you think should go home.
And why?
Mm-hmm. And I like that some of the girls are still smart, where they're like, "Oh, well, send them all home," you know, or
right,
the smart way. Did you ever have to be in front of that firing squad?
Yes.
Who did you say?
I said Jinx, and then I cried and untucked and told her I didn't mean it.
Who did you really mean?
No, I meant Jinx, but I felt bad, you know?
So you're a liar.
I think the reasons I gave were not accurate. And so I didn't mean that.
Sure. I don't know. I don't know what I said. I'm sure I was asked though.
Well, could you please bring back my 8x10 of Schadenfreude?
I'm going to go to an 8x10 with and only sell copies of Shauna Brooks' photos.
8x10s of Shauna Brooks.
Stolen, mopped.
We'll sell those at our live events.
Right. Once again, we have a thank you for Tati.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, because she and Raven kind of get into it.
Yeah.
Raven reads her because Raven's like, well, I would have made more money if I just laid on the end of the stage and let the guys throw money on me. Which... that was one of the things. She was doing more poll work and platform work. Mm. And so didn't have enough as much one-on-one time with the guys to get the dollars.
Sure. I mean, Raven is a what's the word? Bitch. But there's also...
Bristly?
Yeah, she's prickly. Abrasive. She's prickly sometimes. Okay. Like when you shave your arms 2 days ago.
Right.
But she's a great performer, and when she's on stage, you can't not look at her. And even just the simple movements of like the hands walking up the arm on this lip sync that's coming up, because she is in the bottom too, are, you know, you want to watch her. She's beautiful to look at. Yeah. You know, I don't know, very Hitchcock to me.
Yeah. But Raven says that Tatiana is just interested in being a pretty girl.
I don't think she wants to be like
a grand
superstar diva. I think she's comfortable being a beautiful girl.
No, not the case. If I was comfortable being a beautiful girl, I was a beautiful girl at home. That's not why I'm here, to be like pretty.
Okay.
Thank you.
The payoff of watching this wonderful interaction is seeing Raven's nose, which is contoured to look like Tati's actual nose.
It's whittled down to a fine toothpick.
Yeah. She knows her way around a paintbrush.
It takes skill to, to achieve that.
Sure. I don't try to. No. I think that doing this is a great divisive way to drive the plot forward and to establish, ooh, who don't we like? Who should be in a fight? So it's an effective reality programming tool, and I applaud them for it.
Hey, it works.
Yeah.
When it works, it works.
Mm-hmm.
Bring back the girls. Okay, we're getting there. We're getting closer.
Yes, very much so. I could smell it.
Yeah.
Rue deliberates and decides that Nicole Page Brooks and Raven will lip sync to My Lovin'.
Two vixens in brown hair and black dresses.
Mm-hmm. Two vixens in brown hair and black dresses enter. One remains. And Raven does the damn thing. I mean, it's kind of a park and bark until you know it's time for a breakdown. And Raven marches up the stage on the never gonna get it, never gonna get it. She points to every single girl backstage. Yeah, and
very smart.
She's actually right, other than to Tyra.
Right.
Foreshadowing. Yeah, which I kind of like. And then she pulls out her titty and blots her face.
Which Merle loses her mind.
She's never conceived
this bit.
A fake breast as a comedy bit?
It's that great bingo brunch trick, girl.
Bingo broad. Yeah, the broad jokes.
The straight people in the audience are just like, what? I've never seen such a thing.
Oh my God, comedy?
I'm losing my fucking mind.
That's why I pull out my balls. People love it.
Get some going at the bingo brunch.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling out your balls on a hoverboard. Taking a shit. Taking a shit on a canvas.
How dare you bring up my Wigstock performance?
It's a good lip sync song.
It is. It's a good one.
And Raven turns it.
Nicole Page Brooks, unfortunately, is escorted from the building.
Yeah.
With her acrylic toenail.
Yeah. And she was great. And
we're going to call her now on the break.
Thank you.
Out of all the queens of season two, one of them stands out as a truth teller, a catchphrase owner, and to her we'd like to say thank you. And her name is Tatiana. So for this season, we would like to do a little segment we call
Tati Tidbits.
Now, you were just 21 when we went on Drag Race. Were you actually wearing anything from Forever 21 on Drag Race? And did you?
No,
ever have
back
any...
then I was a wet seal girl.
I love
wet seal.
I worked, good old wet seal.
Mm-hmm, I worked at the Limbo Lounge and Contempo Casual for a moment. I love wet seal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Did you have any previous TV experience?
Oh, no.
No, I meant were you a transvestite?
Oh.
I'm kidding.
Well, to be fair, that's what I was. I was just putting on crop tops and going to house parties before.
I mean, it worked.
Yeah, you know, that's where my knowledge of dressing as a woman came from. It didn't come from like performing. I lied to get on the show. I did like two shows in my lifetime before I actually auditioned. So.
Oh my God!
Well, you did a lot right. Yeah, I think the goal was always when I was getting in drag, could you get guys? And if you could, that means you were good at it.
That's why I was wearing the crop top, was to suck a dick, and I succeeded.
Mm-hmm. There's a ringtone.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
That's incredible. So, like, performing wasn't a part of it when, before you were on Drag Race. That's astonishing to me, because you're such an amazing performer.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I was always into... like talent shows and choreography and all that good stuff. So like I had that kind of in my pocket, but it was never something that I planned to like be a career. I had just gone to a drag show and was like, oh, I feel like I can put on an outfit and do that. And so I did it twice. I was like, well, that's fun. I guess I should be on a TV show for it now. And then I auditioned.
Damn. You make it look so easy. Oh my goodness.
So what was your audition tape like?
Oh, it was treacherous. It's somewhere out there in the bowels of YouTube.
Near my show.
Yep. Yeah. I think I had to do my runway walk, but I didn't have anywhere big enough to do it. So I found an empty parking garage.
Wow. And I love a good park drag queen in a parking garage audition tape.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Normal people see a parking garage, drag queens see a runway.
Yes, we do.
Exactly.
And we're back. Willem, I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you ever been a stripper or a streetwalker?
Yes and yes. I've been a stripper on at least one or two TV shows, or a showgirl.
Boston Public?
No.
Boston Legal?
No.
Boston Market? No.
They asked me not to, to keep 50 feet from the entrance. I used to be a prostitute, which is well known. But I didn't walk the street. I was always online, kept it classy.
Oh, okay.
Premier escorts, we were called.
Oh, okay.
I've never stripped professionally, but I have been known to put on a show or two, a traveling dog and pony show.
Yes.
Especially with that one guy who liked to watch dog porn while I blew him.
Oh my God.
I've definitely been a streetwalker on multiple shows, but and I used to catch flack for it because they're like, oh, this is a bad example for the community, you know, all these drag queen hooker roles and stuff. But here's the thing, I'm a drag queen. And I've actually been a hooker, so I don't feel bad playing a drag queen hooker. I know that it probably lends itself to illusions of transgendered people only being able to find work in the sex work arena, which is terrible. And but people write stuff about stuff that's true sometimes, and some of that's true. And I mean, it is in my case. I just took a job on a show that one of my friends said no to. He wouldn't do it. It was a sitcom, I think, for Netflix with Michael Douglas and Anne Margaret and stuff. And I didn't want to pass up the chance to work with them. And it was a streetwalker role. And I did it. And Chuck Lorre directed it, which was great working with him. But it did give me pause. And I'm like, fuck, should I do this? And I was like, yeah, you know what? I can own this. And I got to work with Michael Douglas. It's called The Kaminsky Method. It's out next year.
Oh, work.
Have you ever been a stripper or a streetwalker?
Well, I mean, speaking to that, it's like, it is a large part of a lot of people's story in our community. And I also think that...
You have a large part.
Well, I also think sex workers are not something that we should be afraid of or who should be marginalized or should be, like, looked down upon.
Yeah, we say who, we say where, we say when, we say how much.
Exactly. And a lot of the sex workers that I know are, it is the reason they're put on this earth. Like, they love it. And they give something to people that the people can't get anywhere else.
I'm on PrEP. Don't look at me when you said that.
But, like, it's a, I mean, it's physical affection, and it's, like, and it's providing that.
Yeah. Did you see that Helen Hunt movie?
Where no.
She played a, it wasn't called hooking, but, like, it was, like, she played a sex worker in some sense, or an intimacy partner who dealt with handicapped people. And, you know, like, some of them aren't confident enough or mobile enough to go out and find sex, probably. So she delivered that service. And it's, you know, it is kind of important. And it's, like, you know, the ability to help people without necessarily, like, you know, being a nurse. What if you can't do math? Just hook, you know? Because that's just as helpful sometimes. Everybody wants to get off.
Yeah.
Mm, I think so. So have you ever been a stripper or a hooker?
Well, a stripper, I mean, yeah, all the time. Like, I've
seen your reveals.
Right, exactly. Like, I always like there to be an element of, like, stripperness to Alaska when I'm in drag. So, yes, I love that.
You ever put on cam shows?
Street walk. Well.
You do a cam show for some coin?
Probably. Yeah. Not for coin, just for fun. But streetwalker, no, maybe, well. I used to work the door at Foo Bar, and that was very much like I was out on the street dressed in ridiculous flamboyant costumery. So that was, I wasn't necessarily like making money. I couldn't make money as a hooker. Like, it didn't work. So I was like, I need to find something else to do for a living to make money, because it didn't work.
Did you find something?
Yeah. So now I do drag.
I had fun at the back door of Foo Bar a couple times.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Everybody has.
It's a very tiny area.
That's not what they said about me. What do you think was the most, speaking of viral things, what was the most memorable and viral, the most memorable / viral / memorable moment from episode 2? We're just openly reading our producer
just
now.
We're reading Big Dipper for his notes. However, these notes are very extensive and very helpful, so thank you for
that. They're memorable.
They're very memorable, very helpful, and very memorable.
Very viral, too. Thank you.
Well, I have one in mind. Do you have one in mind?
I want to
see if
I'm
we thought
think,
of the
I'm,
same one.
Hold on, let me think.
Okay, you think for a second episode. About a memorable or viral or memorable moment.
I do. I know which one you're going to go with, too, because you quote it often.
What? Which one?
I don't do bitchy, I do sassy.
Oh, I like...
A RuPaulism.
I do sassy. I don't do bitchy. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. And it's good advice, because there is a fine line.
Yeah.
Because you can, it's sort of like the Bianca Del Rio thing. It's like,
rape?
She'll tell, oh my God. She's like, she will literally tell someone to like go fuck themselves or whatever.
Dying of fire.
But she will do it in a way that it's funny. And so it gives it like, a pass.
Yeah.
It's not coming from a place of like, I really want to hurt you.
Funny always gets a pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think she wants to hurt us. That's just the way she does her makeup.
That is very hurtful.
Yeah.
my moment was going to be the Tati thing, the Tati thank yous with Raven.
Sure. Yeah. I forget what episode this is. Is this a stripper episode?
Yeah.
I was like, is this the fabric one? I like the Tati interaction with Juju.
You be fierce to be Miss Tati.
You need to think more, because a lot of things you think are wrong. So how about you think about that?
Yeah, that's
very
a good
all
one
that.
Too.
Season 2 has a lot of great big personalities. I wish they would have more of them back for All Stars. If they do another All Stars, I'm not sure.
Yeah. I would love to see Jessica Wilde up there for an All-Star.
For sure. Yeah. I think Mystique would be a good All-Stars.
I think she would. She's gone through a lot, transformation.
Yeah, I don't know that she could even be called a big girl anymore because she's lost so much weight.
No, she's lost a lot of weight. I think she's like grown as a performer. I would love to see her.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see Sonique on there again.
Sonique.
Yeah.
My time is valuable too, so you better hit it.
We gotta hit it right now. Thank you so much for joining us on Race Chaser.
Yes, thank you.
We'll be back the next episode to continue our journey down Drag Race memory lane. I'm Willem.
I'm Alaska.
And you can rate our podcast and comment about how fantastic it is and subscribe to make sure you know when a new episode comes out. Hint, hint, Wednesdays.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you can follow the dolls at Willem at the Only Alaska 5000.
And our Race Chaser podcast is at Race Chaser Pod.
That's the new Instagram. So get into it. And you can post about us and tweet us the house boots and use hashtag Race Chaser.
Hit it and clit it.
Hit it because my time's expensive, honey.
Bye.
Bye. Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever
Dog. Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck, available on iTunes.